Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How are you, Molly Graham?
Yeah, boy! Let me just turn the heater off.
Oh, turn the heater off. Oh, I'll go and close the door, hold on.
Okay.
Let me just go and close the door.
Okay, and I'll turn the heater off.
Blooming dogs can open the door. I wish they could learn to close it.
And make a meal.
And make a meal, yeah, that would be good.
The only heat source I've got in this room is hung at the window, which is my knee blanket.
Oh, why are you all cold?
Freezing, man. Have you got your heating on?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
How'd you afford that?
How'd you afford it?
How'd you afford that?
Well, we call it heating. It's burning the furniture in the middle of the room.
One of the stools is currently alight.
It's in the middle of the room, so we call it central heating.
Oh, good!
Oh, on fire!
Oh, it's going to be a good one today. Actually, just while we're chatting, let me just put the heater back on. I'm so cold. I've got it on my knees.
What, you got the heater on your knees?
Yeah, I've got the little Dyson air blower heater on my legs.
Ooh.
Just until we start. So
fan heater on your knees.
Sorry?
Fan heater on your knees.
Oh. I misheard. Oh. Forgot to put the knob up. Start that again.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Alan, it's Molly and Darren.
Hello, Molly and Darren.
Hello, how are you? You recognise us?
I do.
Yeah, sure you do.
The Happy Garden.
Hola! And welcome to another exciting edition of the Happy Garden podcast with myself, Molly Green. Hello, you. And I think this does deserve another drum roll. We have Darren Rudge.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, boy. Darren. Welcome to podcast number 14. Now, Dazzler, how was your week? I thought about you since the last time we spoke 7 days ago. We have had minus fives, minus fours, minus fives. Oh. We have had torrential rain. How's it been being a gardener in this
We've
weather?
Been planting. It's been really wet. It was horrible.
Now, what we're doing on Hoppy Garden podcast number 14, an awful lot of stuff sort of Christmassified to get through. I know you're going to be doing something on poinsettia purchase and care a little bit later on.
Yes.
And also, as well, looking after your Christmas tree while it's indoors. Rooted or cut? We had a question in the week, Darren, from a lady who bought a living tree, but she thinks it might have been dug up and put in a pot that doesn't quite fit, and she's kind of unsure what to do now. I've had a fair few sort of Christmas care questions in for you, so you're also going to do a little slot on that.
Yeah, caring for your Christmas tree, folks. Definitely a fitter slot in there. And buying poinsettias and looking after your poinsettia when once you've got it home.
And also keep your receipt, something we'll be talking about a little bit later on. The third slot of Darren's, the Gardener's World live interview, which you conducted this week. I was very pleased with you, Darren. You took your muff along. You did a good performance.
Oh, thank you.
No, really, let us know who you're talking to. We'll play it in a little while.
Yeah, we were talking to Bob Sweet, who is the show horticultural show director for BBC Gardeners World Live, and Lucy Tremlett, who's basically the show manager but has a really fancy title that even now I can't remember, but she tells us about it on my little interview slot today.
Wait a second, I have written it down. I have written it down. Wait a second. Yeah, one of my copious piles of paper. Lucy Tremlett, Head of Horticultural Division at Gardeners World Live.
That's it?
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, she's one of those. She's a lovely, lovely lady. They both are. So we'll be playing out a little bit of that interview a little bit later on. As always, Dazzler, you've got jobs and jokes and the Christmas cracker. Molly and Darren's
Christmas
cracker. What are we doing?
Well, we've got a gardener's gift basket today, Molly.
Oh, God.
Just a...
Yeah. I've had one of those, haven't I?
You've had one of those,
yeah,
haven't you? With out-of-date seeds.
Well, that's... Do you know what I'm looking at now in the podcast room, right in front of me here, under the computer?
I don't know.
Those flipping dwarf beans that we're going to plant in the spring that are 40 years out of date. See if they germinate. If they do germinate and grow, all will be forgiven. Oh, gosh, do you know what's next? Do you know what's next to the 40-year-old dwarf French beans?
What?
Guess what's next to it on the desk?
What could be next to the 40-year-old dwarf bean?
It's Molly's mouse update!
It's a dropping.
Oh, lovely.
That's what's next to it.
There you go.
Guess how many I've caught now? 55.
I think it's the same mouse.
55 times.
I think he's bringing his friends with him now, though.
Anyway, right, shall we commence? As always, shall we start the Happy Garden podcast with some jobs for the week ahead?
Jobs for the week ahead, most definitely, Molly Green.
Oh, I say, you can tell it's getting close to Christmas. Darren's got his festive music out for the Happy Garden podcast jobs of the week. Go on, Darren. Tell us what to do.
Yeah, go on, Darren.
Well, check young trees to ensure they're not developing a forking habit. This is where they start to develop two forks at the top of the stem, okay? Because on a really breezy day, folks, they can split. So you want to prune one out. So the one that's the straightest, keep, and the one that's not, actually prune out, okay? Prune lower branches off trees, although not cherries, okay, because they will bleed. This will allow more light into those plants that we actually keep for the winter. Delay tree planting if the ground is very, very wet, as water around the root zone is not good for plants. And roses can be pruned any time now. Your bush roses, your climber roses can be planted too. Put out a few pansies and winter cyclamen for a bit of winter colour in your containers and use some evergreen plants to give the life to garden close to the house entrance. More jobs to come in a little while.
That was great. Thank you very much, Darren. It's weird, isn't it? Well, it's not weird. It's called nature. How different your gardening is week to week. Last week, you couldn't actually put a spade in the ground. It was so frozen. This week, you know, keeping off the lawns. The jobs you say, but tentatively, in case you slip.
Sorry.
On the mud.
Mrs. Darren's just trying to creep across the room.
Oh, was that Mrs. Darren or the dog?
That was the dog.
I thought. Has she been out shopping? Is she?
She's been out shopping, yeah. In her new toy.
In my new toy.
Oh yes, the car.
Oh yes.
That's fantastic. A new Jaguar. I have had a picture and everything.
Pace, are you jealous?
I am jealous. He still needs to cook you a meal, though. Even though he's bought you a Jaguar, he still needs to cook. Tell us. Oh, she can't hear me.
No, you're talking to...
How convenient for you. Yeah. How convenient for you, Darren.
She'll have to listen in. Molly says, I still need to cook you a meal. Anyway, we carry on.
Shall we press on?
Yes. On our Westminster leather seats. Honestly.
I don't know if I'll leave that in because it might make you sound like quite a... I'm not sure.
What a... That's brilliant.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
I'm Adam Frost and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and that Darren Rudge fella.
We'll be doing some poinsettia care very, very shortly here on the Happy Garden Podcast. Shall we though, Darren, start with a question?
Yeah.
For you. Well, yeah. This is from Esme. Now, Esme, I'm so sorry. God love her. She actually emailed this in whilst we were recording last week's pod. So she's waited ages for this because we didn't have time to slot it in. Well, I didn't see it till after we'd recorded last week's pod. So, Esme, this is for you. It says, Malt, Darren, I live in Ayrshire on the west coast of Scotland and I am an avid listener of the podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you. My question is for Darren. Is it safe to make leaf mould with sycamore leaves that have been affected by tar spot? I am just concerned that when I use the leaf mould, other plants might be infected. Thank you both so much for the brilliant podcast. With my very best wishes, Esme. Hi, Esme.
Hi, Esme. Well, first of all, I like your name. I love the name Esme.
That's pretty, isn't it?
That's just really, really pretty, yeah. I just thought I'd say that. It is really pretty name. Now, if you make leaf mould with sycamore leaves that have tar spot on them, by the time they've made the leaf mould, if you let it break down totally and utterly so it looks like soil, there'll be no problem at all. Because actually the composting process that you put them through when you make your leaf mould will actually kill any fungal disease. So there is no problem at all with you making leaf mould with sycamore leaves that might have tar spot on there. Because by the time they make leaf mould, it's going to be at least 7 or 8 months, depending on the method that you actually use, before you actually use this this stuff, then not a problem at all. Now, normally I'd advise put them into, you know, a bag for life, if you've got a bag for life. Pop some bone meal in there, then a little bit of urine, okay, so tiddle on them, and then tie that bag up and basically leave them for around about 8 to 12 months. And then you'll have some wonderful, wonderful stuff that you can actually use and utilise in and around your borders. And in fact, into your pots. You can make your own compost with it. OK? So there you go, Esme. Thank you for the question. But as long as you let it break down properly, there will be no problem with tar spot actually transferring to other plants.
Prats.
Plants.
Now, does Esme have to whittle on it, or Mr. Esme, or any Esme, does it make any difference?
Well, it's Mr. Esme, really, okay, that you need to tiddle on it, because it's the strong urine that you're looking for.
Blue job.
At the end of the day, yeah. And unfortunately, ladies, you are too caustic for the creatures, you know, the micro creatures that we need to actually encourage in your compost. So that's why we don't use lady peas.
It's fine by us. I don't fancy, you know. Tiddling in a bin bag is fine. Put it on the blue job list.
I suggest you do it into a bottle or a jar first.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that.
And just pour it in.
That's not what
the
I
neighbours
envisaged.
Might have something to say.
Oh, dear. Honestly, I don't think laterally at all. I can imagine. That's what I was imagining. And I thought, well, that's fine. I don't mind not doing that.
Molly's weaning in the bin bags again.
Oh, dear.
I've got a mental image.
All right. Also on the Facebook this week, Ian. Oh, this is so nice. The Happy Garden Podcast on Facebook. In fact, it's the Happy Garden Podcast everywhere. In fact, hang on. Let me let producer Dean tell you how to get involved.
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at the Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
So Ian on the Facebook Molly, Darren, be good to mention how important it is to put water out for the garden creatures as well as food. Absolutely. When it was -5, Darren, wow, I tried to smash the bird baths with a huge stick. Broke the stick.
Yeah, and it is really, really important that they do actually get fresh water. So just defrost it with a little bit of hot water and then it'll cool down instantly. So especially for birds, because birds are, you know, out there. They don't hibernate. So and then you've got things like foxes and things like that that are wandering around as well, haven't you?
Tell me about it.
They do need a little bit of TLC. So, yeah, really, really, really good point to mention that, you know, when we're tucked up nice and warm in our beds, that creatures are out there still snaffling around and do need just a little bit of help sometimes, especially when there isn't fresh water available. So, well done, Ian. It's a really good point to mention. And hopefully we've done it justice for you. But we do need to look after the creatures that we've got in our garden and become part of this wider web. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we need to realise that we should be doing, is becoming part of the wider web. We're not just a species on our own. We're a species within thousands upon thousands of species, and we have to fit into the jigsaw puzzle, don't we, Moss?
Oh, really well said. However, Darren, it's not like me to have an however, but I've already told you this because it happened last week, and I love every single creature on God's earth. I literally don't kill a fly, do I, Darren? It's, you know.
Yeah.
I'd mentioned on the podcast 2 or 3 weeks back about seeing this fox in the garden during the daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, a few days later. It was somebody else had left the electricity off in the field. That's a whole separate thing. So the lecky was off in the field. Fox got in and took one of my geese's head off, Madge, who's been here for 16 and a half years. So just as a word of warning, if you've got fowl, if you've got chickens, a lot of Happy Garden podcast listeners have chickens. This is the time of year where foxes, it's not their fault, it's nature. They are trying to make their winter larder. And you and I have spoken before, Darren, when it's happened here, the fox hasn't been in for a decade. We've been very lucky. Well, you know, we're electrified. They will kill everything they can see. And that's just a natural thing. They take their heads off because they'll come back later and, well, if humans didn't exist, they would come back later and take them all and bury them. Foxes like rotted food. Foxes create a winter larder, which is why they kill everything they can see. They down everything to come back later to get it, to bury it, and that's them for the winter. So they're on the lookout for that at the moment. So if you do have little ones or birds, any sort of fowl in the garden, it's just one to be aware of. We're going to do something on chickens, aren't we? Come spring, Darren.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah. And it's, I mean, your passion for chickens is wonderful. And by the way, I need some more eggs. So,
well, you can't.
Oh.
No, really, I've had so many people
text
me. Are
they all flying still?
Oh, Darren! Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that did make me laugh. Was that in the last podcast, the off lay?
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm lucky if I get an egg a day. That reminds me. That's why we were talking about it, because I said they might be off lay because the fox is around and they know the fox is around. So sadly that's happened to me this week. Just be vigilant, as I say. It's just nature, isn't it, Darren? It's terribly sad if you're their mom, but it's nature that nature is gathering in for the winter. Same as us, really.
Yeah, most definitely. I watched a documentary the other day on bears.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're really lucky not to have bears in this country, because they tend, at this point in time where bears exist, to go into towns and villages, because towns and villages, especially in America, have got McDonald's and things like that. Mm. And there was a fascinating clip of this bear walking into McDonald's, into the store itself, yeah, and just having a wander around and people just scattering. I mean, this was a big black bear. They just scattered because it wanted its hamburger and French fries.
Which one kills you? Is it brown or black bear?
I've got no idea. I wouldn't want to wait around and find out. Would you?
Either. No.
But they're just scavengers. And the big thing that this researcher was trying to tell us was that bears that inhabit sort of areas around towns and cities put on 50% more weight at this time than bears that are trying to put on weight in the natural environment. So they're bigger and fatter and getting ready for hibernation. So so there you go.
Yeah, it's just nature this time
just
of
nature.
Year. Have you got your phone on you?
Yeah.
I've just forwarded you something that my brother-in-law, who lives in Brisbane in Australia, has just sent me. You got it?
Oh, no.
That was in his bathroom this morning.
No.
Fair-sized huntsman, exclamation mark, he says. I wasn't trying to clean its teeth. I'm just giving you some scale, he says. And he's put a toothbrush next to it, and it is most of the size of a toothbrush. That's his dressing gown it's on, Darren.
That's the reason why I don't live in Australia.
That is probably bigger than my microphone muff.
Ooh.
So you're right, we are lucky to live here, as much as we moan about the weather.
I mean, you couldn't get that into a glass, could you?
Oh, wait, there was one other. There was a little... It was Ian on Facebook. There was a little codicil to Ian's message.
Yeah.
I caught our resident squirrel in the birdbath doing backstroke, Molly. I asked him why, and he said it was... it was to keep his nuts dry. Thanks, Ian. OK. And also on Facebook. Now, this leads nicely into your poinsettia slot, because Joanne dropped us a little message. Hi, Joanne. I don't think I forwarded you this, did I? It was she'd taken a photo. It's on the Facebook, I think. Saw this in Aldi, Molly, Joe, and it says big sign in Aldi next to the poinsettias that says in big letters, "Do not put in cold drafts or near to heaters." Well done, Aldi.
Well done, Aldi.
However, do you want to do your Sainsbury's story before we launch into how to look after them properly?
Well, yesterday I was out
in Sainsbury's
doing stuff. Mm. And went in for my lunch to go and buy a sandwich, OK? And I thought...
Let me stop you there.
OK.
Why don't you make one? Save you some money before you leave.
I haven't got time to do that.
Oh, Darren. As you were.
Plus, Mrs. Darren wasn't up.
Unbelievable.
So.
Go on. Here she is.
So she just walked in.
She came to get her phone.
Mrs. Darren wasn't up.
Your phone's just gone off. And spoilt the podcast this week.
Darren. Spoilt the podcast.
I'll have a coffee.
Jesus. Back to the poinsettias. So do not put them in cold drafts or near to heaters. Well done. Yeah, we just clapped, haven't we?
Yeah, well done, Aldi. Yes. Yeah, well done. So I walked into Sainsbury's yesterday. I was looking around for some fruit or something to have for my lunch. And basically, on top of the fridges, lined out poinsettias, Molly.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, not just one or two. It was probably 40 or 50
poinsettias. Yeah, they made a right display. Yeah, yeah.
It was a lovely display of dead plants.
Oh, God.
Well, they were already dead. So whoever purchased those... Good luck to you, because they're dead.
Well, we ought to explain, haven't we? For anyone who hasn't heard us, or you specifically, well, we both moan about this every single year, have done for a long, long time. Just explain why, sort of their origins and why they can't get chilled and what happens if they do get chilled, even for a second.
Well, it's quite simple. They come from Mexico. So, you know, Mexico is very, very warm all of the time. If temperature is reduced below 13 degrees Celsius, then they get chilled, or any draft or any chill actually kills them. It will kill them. It will shock them so much that they will just curl up and die. That is the point. So if you buy from retailers, they pop them on the top of fridges.
Fridges as well. Open chillers.
Yeah, open chillers. They weren't closed-door chillers. You know, it was the sort of chillers where they pop the fruit and things like that. Or next to doors that are opening and closing, so it goes cold and then hot. Those poinsettias are dead.
Or trolleys outside, which is the worst. Trolleys outside.
Terrible. But at this time of year.
The thing is, though, we must absolutely reiterate to keep your receipt, because we're saying, oh, they're dead. They look splendid at the point of sale. They look amazing. It's 3 or 4 or 5 days later where the leaves fall off and you end up with a twig. But it's like the perfect crime, isn't it, Darren? Because when they're sold, they look amazing, even though the process of them dying has already started. Keep that receipt.
Oh, most definitely, because you always blame yourself. And actually, what you should do is take it back to the retailer and ask for a refund or ask for, a new poinsettia. It's simple as that.
Those leaves should not be falling the week you get them home. As Darren said, if they are, it's not your fault. It's the shock they've been through. But we also ought to say, even if the shop has done its bit, even transporting them from the shop to the car, they're always in a little jacket, aren't they? But sometimes that can't be enough. You've just got to be really careful with them.
And the other big point is, don't do any more shopping once you purchase your poinsettia, because if you get it to the car, that's fine, but leaving it in the car while you go and do another couple of hours of Christmas shopping, again, it gets chilled and it's dead. It's as simple as that. As soon as you buy your poinsettia, make sure it's well wrapped. Make sure you get it home as soon as possible and into a nice, warm, centrally heated environment that's above 13 degrees Celsius.
Once they are home, Darren, and say a week has passed and you haven't got a twig, so they have been looked after at point of sale, which is great, and they are now in your care, then what?
Well, you need to put them into a bright place, out of direct sunlight. So they like lots of light, but out of direct sunlight. And they prefer a humid environment. So if you haven't got a humid environment, you can actually just mist them every day. So just get your mister and just give them a quick spray. Be careful not to spray too much on the foliage if you can. Better to fill a shallow tray, actually, underneath. Just pop some pebbles in it. And then the water will just literally evaporate in the room itself. Be careful not to overwater your poinsettia. You should only water it when the soil starts to dry out. And I call it the rule of thumb. So pop your thumb on the compost. And if it feels dry, then give it a little bit of water, but don't overwater. They don't like it saturated. They like to be a little bit underwatered, actually. If your leaves start to turn yellow, it's a really, really good sign that actually it's been too watered. Yellow leaves really is a massive sign that you've overwatered your plants, and you should be able to diagnose this, as I said, by using your actual finger. Never ever leave it sitting in water. The amount that you actually water will depend on the temperature of the house. Obviously, if it's snug and it's really warm around and you keep your house at 20 degrees or above tropical, you'll need to be watering more often. And that's about it, really. They're no more difficult than that, actually. So keep them out of direct sunlight. Certainly don't put them on windowsills because the temperature drop there, especially if you close the curtains at night, will kill them. And then just water when you feel the compost actually drying out. Pop them onto a pebble tray so that water can evaporate naturally and keep the atmosphere around them humid.
Do you know, I might just reiterate and slip that in again, Darren, for all plants, because you've mentioned this historically, the windowsill, as pretty as it is, once those curtains are closed, as Darren always says, the difference between the temperature caught between the window and the curtains and the temperature in your room is huge. In essence, you're putting them in a bit of a fridge, and that's for all plants, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be up to 5 degrees difference between the room temperature and the temperature on the actual windowsill itself. So don't do it. It's as simple as that.
Don't do it, kids.
Especially with a poinsettia, it'll die.
I've changed my kitchen. I love my kitchen windowsill, Darren. It gives me so much pleasure. It really reflects the seasons. And this week I did go and get big blousy cyclamen from the garden centre down in Studley. It was great because, it's fine to mention it, Castle Nurseries down in Studley. They quite often have free plants. In fact, they had free pineapples at the door this week. Anything that's going a little bit manky or they can't be bothered to sort of, tend and get back is free at the door. And there was lots and lots of big blousy cyclamen. They'd gone a little bit mouldy by the crown, but only a little bit. So they were free, got them home, took out that mould, put a little bit of fresh compost, and because I think they were £4.99 each, and I got 5 free ones.
Excellent. I know. Well, that's great, isn't it?
It is.
And what more could you want?
So I've got tiny, weeny little Christmas trees and a bit of tinsel, so the kitchen windowsill looks lovely. And it will be for, 2 or 3 months? And then, of course, this is looking way ahead, but when all that goes and the daffodils and the tete-a-tetes come, well, I mean, that's miles away, but, when the season turns into spring, as I say, that's a long, long way away. Well, Darren, maybe after Christmas. I've already semi-booked the Forestry Commission to talk about what to do with Christmas trees post-Christmas. Maybe you'll do for those that do want to see a poinsettia through till next year, for me personally, I can't be bothered. And I have, this is awful to say to you, but I had a poinsettia for years that just wouldn't die. As much as I tried to kill it, it would not die. And where do you put it? This half manky twig. But for those that do want to see a poinsettia through to next year, you will do a little masterclass on that as well, post-Christmas?
Yeah, well, in their own country, Mexico, they are weeds. So poinsettias are weeds. Basically, yeah, we'll do a nice little slot to say, if you want to keep your poinsettia, which of course is a money-saving tip, then basically I'll tell you how to do it and get it through so that it will flower again the following season, the following Christmas.
If you can be bothered. If you've got somewhere to put it. Problem with me, Darren, you've seen my place. I have so many plants. I've got nowhere to put them.
It's like a tropical rainforest, your place.
It is. So next we're going to be hearing from our Dazzler chatting to Bob Sweet, Bob and Lucy, the show director and the manager of BBC Gardeners World Live, show that's coming to the Birmingham NEC next year. After, what should we do, some jokes?
Yes, let's do jokes.
Do you want one from me first?
Go on, then.
I like to set the pace.
Go on, then.
Darren, what did the beaver say to the Christmas tree?
I have no idea, Molly. What did the beaver say to the Christmas tree?
It's been nice gnawing you.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Right, then, let's see if you can raise a bigger titter. Yourself.
Well, I've gone a bit Christmassy because it is nearly Christmas with my jokes for this week,
cool.
Mrs. Green. So the first one I've got for you is, what do you call a snowman in the summer?
Water?
A puddle.
Oh, yeah, I saved something. Good. Good. Number one.
What happened when the shy snow girl ditched her snow boy?
Oh, I couldn't possibly imagine.
She gave him the cold shoulder.
Oh, good, Darren. Yep, two.
Where do snowmen go to dance?
Something to do with a ball, I'd have thought.
Oh. Oh, snowballs!
Oh, I ruined that.
You ruined that one.
Should play along. Three.
What do you get when you cross a vampire with a snowman?
Oh, I don't know.
Frostbite.
Good. Best so far.
Finally, number five.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, just five today.
Yeah, there's only five today.
Okay.
Why did Santa's elf take the day off work?
Why did Santa's elf? Lazy beggar. Santa's up to, I don't know.
He was suffering from tinselitis.
That's really good. Oh, I've just thought, we've got Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker coming up soon.
Oh, yes.
Crackers are in the living room. Shall I go and get them?
Yeah, let's go and pull a cracker.
Well, hang on, I
a
need
cracker.
To go. Cracker. I need to go and fetch them.
Shall I do a singing interlude?
Let me fade this down. Go on then. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
You better be good.
I'll be good.
All right, okay. Hang on. Be good, Darren.
Okay. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Wait.
Right, she's back.
Put my headphones on. Got a cracker.
That was a bit of a musical interlude.
Is this finished yet? No, not yet. What did you sing?
I was singing Jingle Bells.
Oh, were you good?
It was semi-good, I would say.
I don't know whether you've noticed, but in post-production, because I edit I edit the Happy Garden podcast, I have put a small echo on your voice to make you sound good. Have you noticed?
Oh, yes, I did.
Have you?
I did. It made me sound like I was in a club.
Made you sound like Daniel O'Donnell.
Like it was a pub
like
singer.
You were in a club. I don't know about that, Darren.
A working men's club.
Yeah, I was going to say a social club, maybe. Some sort of pub. I love you, Darren.
Pub singer.
So, everybody boo.
Shaddy boo, daddy boo.
And another thing. Twit. Right, where are we? What sheet are we on, two?
Well, only on two.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what it's time for.
What's that?
Flipping adverts.
Oh.
I'm sorry, everyone. We're trying to make some money. Nothing's coming through yet, so I don't even know why we've got adverts on it, to be honest. No one's paying us. But,
no. Ooh, we were on about the central heating earlier, weren't we, Molly?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
We're burning furniture in the middle of the room. That's why it's central heating.
Yeah, okay. The joke was funny the first time. But listen, there are a few ads coming. You can just forward through them. If you look at whatever, whether you're on Spotify or Amazon, wherever you're listening to us on the podcast, there'll be a little button where you can just flick through them. So if you don't want to listen, God's sake, don't tell Emirates, but if you don't want to listen, you can just flick through them. And we'll see you in a moment.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And a very warm welcome back. Let's hear Darren's interview now with Bob Sweet, who is horticultural director of the BBC Gardeners World Live Show at the NEC, and Lucy Tremlett, who is head of the horticultural division at the show as well. I think there's a little bit of a bromance going on between Darren and Bob.
Now, Bob, you and I have had a little bit of I was going to say a relationship, but that sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it? we've had a sort of a long-term relationship. I mean, I think it's 22 years I've been involved in this show.
I was going to say, Darren, I'm trying to think a little bit earlier how long it is since you've been involved with BBC Gardens World Live, but I can remember you in various guises building various show gardens, helping various students, and being, dare I say it, sometimes extremely angry. You used to have judges involved.
Yeah, there were a few judges that got my tongue lashing. They really did.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been through some times, haven't we? Yeah. I mean, it's been glorious, and it becomes obsessive, doesn't it? This garden lark really becomes very, very obsessive. But thank you to both for maintaining the Midland show. Yeah, I mean, it is the Midland show, but you know, thank you so much for developing the show. The show for me has gone from strength to strength, particularly over the last 5 to 10 years.
That's nice of you to say, Darren, but Birmingham deserves a show, and the wider area, of course, the West Midlands area. And I think BBC Gardeners World will always be committed to have a major event in this area. And we take horticulture quite seriously. I mean, we do always think about what we call editorial content. It's not about trying to fill up and sell space for people to come and flog things. We really do want to hold an event that has genuine interest, lots of things that people can learn, things that you can talk about, things that we certainly, Lucy and I, have been really, really proud of some of the gardens and some of the exhibits we've had in the show. You know, everybody talks about Chelsea, don't they? But this is the equivalent in the West Midlands.
And you're entirely right. That's entirely the way that I look at it, and it is the Chelsea of the West Midlands. And it's a fantastic show. You were telling us earlier, Lucy, 91,000 people attended the show last year. Mm-hmm. So are you looking to increase that this year?
I mean, always. We're always looking to welcome more people. I think, as Bob was saying, there's something special about this show, and it is a real Midlands, West Midlands and wider audience. You know, it's locality, but it's inclusive. And that's the point of the BBC Gardeners World brand. It's accessible to all. You can come. There's a snippet of the show that was really relatable to you. You can take home those ideas. You can take home some of the advice that you've learned. You can take home a sausage roll from the BBC Good Food Show. And the idea is that the show is for everybody. And that's what we always strive for each year. Whenever we're looking at, okay, what should we have in the show this year? What's our content? What's our stories? They've always got to be relatable. They've always got to be going back to our visitors and why they would want to see it. So, yeah, that's really important to us.
And it's that thing, isn't it, about it being personal, and people can come in and they can actually take something away. And I think BBC Gardeners World Live, in particular, in Birmingham, it is a show where you can come in, you can be intimate with plants and people and take something home. Now, there's two other shows that have joined the Gardener's World set, isn't there? Tell us about those, Lucy, because there's a spring show and there's the autumn show, isn't there?
Yeah, so, well, over a horrible time that was going on, which was the pandemic and lockdown, we were having a think about what do people want from shows moving forward. And I think the big thing is that sometimes, as brilliant as the Birmingham show is, it is at a it's at the National Exhibition Centre. So there is some brilliant infrastructure, but there's something lovely about hosting a flower show in an outdoor, beautiful site. So we were looking at some different options, and we decided that we would launch some shows either side of the seasonal calendar, so one in spring and one in autumn. And just off the back of lockdown in May 2021, we launched our first Gardener's World Spring Fair down in Bewley, in Hampshire, in the New Forest, in a really beautiful setting. And that one has, it's gone from strength to strength. We're about to go into our fourth year. We welcome now 25,000 people over the 3 days of that show. And it's almost Gardener's World Live, but in a slightly smaller format. So lots of amazing specialist growers, lots of small showcase and beautiful borders, and lots of garden trade to shop from. So it's a really, really beautiful boutique event. And very similarly, we launched one in the autumn season at the other end at a beautiful English heritage site called Audley End House and Gardens. And that one, you know, comes with a few problems. It's on a bit of a slope, and it's a total green site, so it takes a lot of infrastructure to come in. But again, it's in a heartland, a lot of our magazine subscribers, so it pulls a really keen gardening audience and a really, really lovely show. So we now have three under our belt.
That's our Dazzler talking to Bob Sweet and Lucy Tremlett from BBC Gardeners World Live, the show which will be at the NEC 2024. Plenty more on that next year, and plenty more actually of that interview. The week after Christmas, we'll be hearing from Bob talking about how judging is done at the show, and also more importantly for all of us, how we can enter, even with no experience, the beautiful borders at the show. So more on that the week after Christmas.
You're listening to The Happy Garden, Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
What a load of old manure.
Now, Dazzler, should we get back to some questions?
Yeah.
Okay, any questions that you've got for Darren, it's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, or, of course, you can pop something on the Facebook, which, again, is The Happy Garden Podcast. So this is from Alan. This is a lovely question, Darren. I'm relatively new to gardening and to your podcast, and I want to thank you for making gardening quite fun. Love the laughter. My question is about a small patio apple tree that I was given last year as a birthday present. I threw away the tag when I potted it, thinking I would remember what it is, and now I can't. Yeah, we've all been there. I had four red apples on the tree this summer. It's in a fairly large pot, and now most of the leaves have gone. I have no idea what I should be doing for it to get it over the winter. Any advice would help, Darren. Kind regards, and that's from Alan.
Well, Alan, it's really simple. You don't have to do anything for it, because it's a hardy tree. It will lose its leaves because it's deciduous, and it's gone to sleep for the winter. Just leave it alone. It'll be fine. It'll be back in the spring. And then you can start to give it a little bit of a water. Might need a little bit of a feed. Just use something like fish blood and bone just to scatter into the pot itself, and then water it through. And that's it, really. Essentially, it might need a little bit of a prune. But if it's a new young tree that you've only planted this year, then leave it for a couple of years. But you don't really need to do anything for winter care. It doesn't need any protection. It's a hardy tree. So it will just be sitting there having a nice sleep, ready for the spring, when you'll find it'll bud through. As soon as you start to see buds starting to burst, then basically start to water it. And if it was mine, and if I were you, I was going to say, I would give it a mulch as well. Now, I would use horticultural grit. This is really fine horticultural grit, and put about 2 inches on the top surface, and that will help retain the moisture in the pot as well. And that's really all that you actually need to do for this particular plant. I hope that helps, but very, very easy to look after.
Thanks, Alan. It's nice, isn't it, having the patio varieties, the small standards, the... Is there a specific name for those fruit trees that are really little?
I mean, you've got stepovers,
that's
which always fascinate
that's the one,
me.
Yeah, stepovers.
But you've got patio apples and pears and things like that as well that you can grow in pots. And I think it is wonderful, Molly, because I think this moment in time, we'd never, ever been able to have so many plants at our disposal for all sorts of situations. So if you haven't got a massive garden, you can have really small apples and pears and plums that you can actually grow in pots or even... walk over. That's what step overs mean. You should be growing them in the ground, but able to step over them.
You'd have to hurdle. You'd have to have a run up and a hurdle, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's wonderful. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, Ian, you think we make horticulture accessible because that's
nice.
Our main aim for doing this is to have a bit of fun and make people want to get involved.
Thank you very, very much, Alan. All questions welcome from wherever you are on earth listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It is the happygardenpodcast@gmail.com or pop us something on either Instagram, which again is the Happy Garden Podcast, or Facebook. Guess what that is, Darren?
The Happy Garden Podcast.
Yeah, there you go. you will find us. Right, shall we do Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker now? I've fetched one from the living room.
Okay. Yes.
Ho, ho, ho! It's time to pull one of Molly and Darren's Christmas crackers.
Well, let's find out. Cracker, 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 cracker. What do you want? The hat?
Yeah.
Okay. For the purposes of reality, it'd be difficult seeing as I've got the cracker in my hand and I'm sat in Birmingham and you're in Bloxwich.
I'm in Bloxwich.
But we can try. Okay, you theoretically take one end of this.
Got it.
You got it? You got it firmly. Yeah. Are you cheating by putting your forefinger and your thumb on the pull bit?
Yeah.
At least you're honest. Okay, you ready? Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, pathetic. Right, who got that, me or you?
I don't know.
No, you can have it.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah, this week. This week, sorry. I got it last week. You can have it then.
No, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
What's the toy?
I'll tell you after I've smelt the cracker. Mm. Lucky I didn't faint. Right, you've got a purple hat.
Okay.
Same colour as my muff. Okay. And hang on, where's my glasses? Let's see what you've got. Oh, it's a little puzzle. Help Santa find his lost reindeer. Navigate your way through the maze until you locate the reindeer. Oh, that's sweet. Okay.
Nice.
I'll save that for you. And there's a little joke.
Okay.
Who is Santa's favourite singer?
Oh,
I like
don't
this.
Know.
This is good. No idea?
Oh, no?
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. I'll put the hat on. Hang on. Oh, there we go.
You've ripped that.
Did you hear me rip it?
Yeah.
You heard
torn
me.
My hat.
I've just put it on my head anyway. Just a bit of scrumpled paper. Right, let's do Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker. What are you advocating this week?
Well, it's the gardener's gift basket, Molly.
Great.
The thing that everybody wants.
I didn't. Go on.
The garden lover. For the garden lover, I should say.
Yes.
The ultimate gift of a gardener's gift basket.
Oh, wait, hang on. We've begged about it so much the music's finished. Let me start it again. Hang on. Anyway, I'll start it again. Yeah, go ahead.
So, for the garden lover, how about the ultimate gift basket? Okay. Filled with the things they'll need to indulge their passion. Take a cheap terracotta pot, or even a reclaimed one,
cheap.
Folks. Just like I did for Molly. Give it a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a clean and a tidy. Add some chalkboard paint, and then you can pop a message on there. Fill it with the wonderful gardening essentials, like a small ball of gardening twine, some gloves, some plant labels, a pencil, and even, how about a few packets of out-of-date seeds?
Nice.
This is the perfect gift for anyone who loves to garden. You can get to choose what goes into your gardener's gift basket so you can customise it to the person that you are actually giving it to and actually to the budget that you can actually afford. All of the supplies are pretty cheap, but together they make a priceless gift for that gardener, the one you love.
Oh, Darren, what's really good about this gift is you open
it. You can
it.
Gift it on.
You open it and think, that'll be great for Margaret next door. Margaret next door passes it to Dorothy at number 5. Next year it goes to Mark in the next road along. That's how the seeds become out of date. No, Darren, it was the nicest thing, though, that you got me. And also, because you'd used the chalkboard paint on the recycled cheap terracotta pot, you'd put Molly on it, which really annoyed me. Because that really reduced the amount of people I could pass it on to.
Just your friends call Molly.
Of which there are none. So I was really, really peeved. I blacked it out. Yeah, gave it to my friend Ollie.
Ollie? Jolly? Or Wally? Wally?
Wally, who would call... What's Wally short for?
Wally, I don't know. Wally,
who would call
name?
Their baby a pure, Wally. Innocent, newborn baby? Wally. Hang on. Let me Google this. Hang on. What is Wally short for?
It's Wally.
Wally. I'm sure it's short for something. Wally, baby name meanings. Wally is a boy's name meaning Welshman, related to the old French name Wallace. Oh, there we are then.
Wallace. Wally.
What were we talking about that for?
Because your pot had Molly on it.
You were just thinking
of gifting it
there
on.
There we go, to Wally. I don't know any
to Wallace. Wally. Dolly. Polly.
Polly! Now, we do know a Polly, don't we?
We do know a Polly, yeah.
Anyway, look, we're going mad. Let's get on to tree care.
Yes.
Now, maybe you were listening last week. Oh, my goodness, the tree hire company went very, very well on the podcast last week. Or last weekend, it being the first weekend of December, although I know you won't be hearing this till the 7th after. But if you did get your tree, whether you bought a pot-grown tree or a, inverted commas, pot-grown tree, one that's been dug up and shoved into a pot, or a real tree, or a stump. Shall we do some tree care, Darren? Now trees are possibly going to be in for the next month or so. It's imperative that we look after them. So
yeah.
I know you've got some advice. Would you like a bit of music?
Yes, please.
Oh, this is nice. Oh, so Darren's Christmas tree care special. Go.
So caring for your tree when once you get it home, folks. So basically, keep it outside in a cool, shaded place, preferably standing in water if it's a stump, you know, if it's a tree that you bought with a stump. Leave it there for a day or so before actually moving it indoors. If it's in a pot, folks, then again, keep it outside, perhaps give it a little bit of water. But for a stump, definitely keep it in a cool, shaded place at least for a day before moving it indoors. Before you take it in for the stump, cut half an inch off the butt of the stump itself. This will open up its pores because the stump will have sealed itself. So what you want to do is open up its pores because you want it to be able to suck up moisture. Stand it then in some boiling water again to open up those pores for about half an hour if you can do. You don't have to keep boiling the water. Just boil the water, pop the tree in there and then leave it in there for about half an hour. Mount it in water holding stand or wedge it into a bucket with pebbles. Small stones can be popped in or it can be screwed up newspaper can also be used, and then place it away from any direct heat sources. Really you want them in the corner of the room, furthest away from radiators or, you know, fires, any sort of thing that you might have that's direct heat. Add some beer to the mix, Red Bull or gone-off lemonade for sugar, and a couple of capfills of vodka. Not the best stuff, folks. Use the cheap stuff. You can have the best stuff while you're doing this, which will help keep those water networks open. So those pores, that's what this stuff will actually do. Plus, it'll feed your tree. Keep the container topped up with water every day. You will be surprised how much your tree will drink, whether it's in a pot and potted as a real tree or whether it's just a stump. It actually guzzles up that water. Now, the big final thing to say is if it starts to lose its needles, do not spray with hairspray, folks. It's flammable. It's not good for the environment and can be a massive, massive fire hazard. So if you want a tree that doesn't lose its needles, always go for the Nordman fir. Nordman firs traditionally will hang on to their needles for at least 2 to 3 weeks. They're a bit more expensive than your cheaper trees, but actually you only get what you buy at the end of the day. So if you want a tree that will hold on to its needles for at least 2 to 3 weeks, then go for the Nordman fir. And that's how to care for your trees, whether they're potted or whether actually you've bought a tree that's just been cut at the base and is just a stump.
Stump, I like that word.
Stump.
What's in your living room? What are you looking at? Ask the mum.
We haven't got anything up at the moment.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Porque?
Humbug.
Porque no? What?
Humbug. Bah, humbug.
Oh, I know. What you mean by humbug is Mrs. Darren hasn't done it yet.
Well, I've had a word.
God, have
she's
you?
Got the, she's got the unions involved.
When will you... You we're are going to have a tree.
Yeah, we're probably going to do it this weekend. We've got a plastic one because I think it's more sustainable.
Me too.
And I don't want to go and buy a tree that's been cut.
Same.
A stump. And we haven't really got the room for a tree that's actually real to keep. So that's why we've got a plastic tree. That's my excuse anyway.
No, same. I'm the same.
Yeah, good.
The only downside is the smell. You don't get the real Christmas tree smell, but you can get essential oils.
Yeah.
Watched Had the Fire On last night and watched the Longleat Christmas illumination special, sort of what they do at Longleat. Yeah. And their Christmas tree... I know I talk about this every single year. It's just how I feel. They were talking about, well, they had the forestry, sort of head of forestry on, choosing the Longleat Christmas tree. And these things, you know, like a decades old, well, maybe 10, 20 years old. And they chose the most magnificent tree and they put this little label on it that it was going to be felled. And I thought, oh, you poor little tree. And they cut the tree down. I had to fast forward the bit through, you know, when they chainsawed it down. I feel so sorry for them. Chainsawed it down, put it on the back of a low loader, drove it to the house. The guy on the crane lifted it up, dropped it, snapped it. It went in the bin and they had to go and choose another one.
Oh no,
this poor tree.
Why not just decorate it there and then?
I would. I'd have just like cable tied the top back on and carried on. But no, I think they just binned it, which is a shame. So plastic, as much as, you know, we vilify plastic, as long as you keep them, as long as you don't change your plastic tree every year, it's more sustainable. I don't know. There's such an argument. There's pros and cons for real and plastic, isn't there, Darren?
Well, it's like lawnmowers, you know.
What?
Lawnmowers. Everybody's saying we should, you know, basically do away with petrol lawnmowers because of the damage they do to the environment and all this sort of stuff. And you should have battery lawnmowers and all this. But actually, if you've got a petrol lawnmower, don't feel bad about it. As long as you keep it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's sustainable, isn't it? You know, and you have it serviced and it's looked after and it's maintained, then that's still quite sustainable, folks. It's still very, very sustainable because batteries are not all too sustainable when you have to get rid of them. Yes, we do need to move to energy systems that are not fossil fuel based, but if you've got an old lawnmower that you've had for 10 to 15 years, well, actually, that's quite sustainable for me.
I haven't seen my lawnmower in... months.
Yeah, you extended No Mo May, didn't you?
No Mo May. No Mo May. It's December.
To never mow.
Never mow ever again. .com.
And I think that's great. No, I think that's brilliant. Yeah, I do. Yeah, because, you know, sincerely, there's a time and a place, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know.
No time, no place. Right, shall we do our final question?
Yes.
And then we've got jobs for the week ahead, and then I shall release you.
Release please
you.
Release me, let me go.
We've had no singing on the podcast for ages.
No, I know.
I have to apologise for the Happy Garden Podcast house band, which has been...
What's happened to him?
I don't know. He's still in bed.
Is he?
Yeah, it's 1:05.
This time?
In the afternoon.
What have you done to him?
It's not my fault. Really, he's had a very, very long weekend. Do you know, God love him. I wonder if he's awake. I might shout him in a minute. He went up to Scotland on Friday.
Yeah.
To go and liberate. He did pay for them. He didn't steal them. To liberate 2,000 commercial hens out
Good
of a
God.
Yeah, like you know wow. what we used to call battery hens. So he went up to Peebles. 7 hours it took him to get to Peebles, and then paid the farmer, got out a couple of thousand chickens, who were then. This was Friday, so it was really, really cold. And then on Saturday, he rehomed them in Lancashire.
Oh, my God.
And then drove back home. And then he was working yesterday as well, so he's really, really, really tired. Shall I give him a shout? Maybe he's dead. Shall I? Do you know, there's me thinking he's having a lie-in. It's 1:05 in the afternoon. Shall I check he's alive?
Yeah.
Can
just
you
check
imagine?
Check he's alive. Yeah, just imagine. This could be a world first on a podcast.
Hang on. If he's asleep, he'll kill me. But I just wanted to make sure you were alive.
Yeah,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Are you up?
No, I'm going back.
Oh, you're there. I'm checking up the stairs. He's in the kitchen. Are you okay? I didn't know you'd come down. You're all right.
Yeah.
No, I'm good, thanks. Okay. Oh, God love it. He's a little pink dressing gown in the kitchen.
I was going to say, has he got his pants on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love him. He's in my dressing gown in the kitchen. I didn't hear him come down. You look so cute.
It's in your dressing gown.
It is, yeah, in a little pink dressing gown in the kitchen.
I'd question that, Molly.
I was shouting up the stairs and he was behind me. That's really weird. I didn't hear him come down.
He's not wearing your slippers as well, are they? Those
I
little pink
know.
Fluffy ones.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not going to call him back again, but at least, as long as he's alive, that's fine. Do you often worry if you don't hear from someone for a while? What if they're dead?
I thought you were going to ask another question then. I thought you were going to... Do you often wear your wife's clothing?
What? CK what? Where that came from, Darren?
Well, he's wearing your dressing gown, isn't he?
Oh, bless him. He must be starving. What are you eating? Is it even worth me asking what you're eating today? I've made the most cracking
Jilly gone carne. Yes, brilliant.
Jilly's gone carne.
It's fine. Jilly's gone barmy.
Jilly's gone barmy. It is cracking, though.
Sorry, Jilly.
It is a cracking chili con carne. Is it worth me asking what you're eating today? It's not
know.
Worth it.
I've not had the menu yet.
Jesus, you don't get a menu, Darren.
She does it every day.
She does
yeah.
not do you
a
menu.
Written menu, yeah. She'll get up, you know, and we'll have breakfast and say, what do you want for tea? And I'll go, I don't know. Food?
Git. Right, we're nearly finished. Let's move on. Right, well, we're nearly done, Darren, so you can go and you can go and see what's for tea shortly. We've only got one more email, and that is from Samantha. In fact, actually, this is on Christmas tree care. I know you've just finished your slot. This is a really interesting one, though. Enjoyed your bit, Molly and Darren, last week with the firm who grew and hired out Christmas trees. I'd already bought my tree when I heard it. I've got a tree in a pot and it wasn't cheap. I paid £40 from a local greengrocer.
Wow.
Now it's home. I'm not sure the tree grew in the pot that it's in.
Right.
Darren, I'm sorry. It...
I don't know what I'm laughing at. But
I don't know what I'm laughing at either. It doesn't quite fit.
Yeah.
And there's air holes.
But...
Darren, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm ridiculous. I'm now not sure what to do. Now, if I want to grow it in a pot, I need to repot, but I've no idea on what size or what compost to use. I want to give it the best chance of surviving for next year. Thanks in advance for any advice. And that is from Samantha.
Well, Samantha, if you bought this tree and you're not happy with it, advice number one is take it back. You know, take it back to your local greengrocers and tell them you're not happy with it. You know, we're British, aren't we? And for our international listeners, us British don't tend to complain.
We're shy.
We're quite shy about going back and complaining. But you've bought something. I mean, it's like the same as buying anything else. You know, if you bought a car and it broke down, you'd take it back, wouldn't you? You know, within the first sort of 6 months, you'd want your money back. Or
and it's
something
the same,
doing to it.
Same sort of advice as the poinsettia, keep your receipt.
Yeah, keep your receipt. if you don't want to do that, then pot it up to the next size pot. So you want the next size pot, and it's literally a couple of inches around the root ball that you've actually got. So if you measure the root ball, and then you want the next size up from the in diameter, so measure the root ball in diameter, and then it's the next size up, and it's a couple of inches. And then use John Innes compost. You want loam-based compost, and loam is soil, so it's soil-based. So you want John Innes number 2 or even John Innes number 3, and then you can pot it up and pop it into another pot. That's what I would do, because I think what's actually happened to this tree is it has been planted into the pot at some point in time, and then it's decided, it's pot-bound, and it's trying to get out of the pot, okay? So it's actually pot-bound. So actually, that's what you need to do, is you need to pop it into a bigger pot, and it'd be far happier for you. And as long as those needles are green and haven't gone brown, then you've got a really, really viable tree that you can use time and time and time again for Christmas. There you go. Hope that helps. Job done.
Darren, I do have a concern. Reading between the lines of Samantha's question, and I know that this does happen in some unscrupulous outlets, if someone says it's pot grown and it isn't, it has been dug up, and you've talked in years gone by, if you cut the tap root, you will have affected the tree?
Yeah, definitely. They will die. It's as simple as that. So,
what is the taproot?
Well, taproot is this long, long root that actually searches for food. So, and provides that basic anchorage as a young tree. So as a sapling, they send a taproot down. It's very, very difficult to get that out of the ground when once the tree has started to establish itself. So most trees do it. You get this long taproot. And then what we do when we dig it out of the ground, and we can't help it, is we snap it. That's its food supply basically gone. There are feeder roots on the side, but the main taproot is the biggest thing, especially for young, young trees. So if they have been dug up and potted, yes, there's sometimes you'll get them through, but you'll easily tell. Tap it out of its pot, and if the compost falls away from the root ball, then basically that plant has been potted into that pot. If it's got a good root system and you can see the root system and the compost holds together, that plant has been container grown. So it's been grown actually in that container, or has been in that container long enough to make a really viable root system for you to move on with and grow as a plant.
And Darren, we ought to mention, you do know your rights as a consumer. If you have concerns that tree has been dug up and put in a pot and sold as pot grown and you don't think it has been, take it back. Keep your receipt, take it back.
Take it back, and if it's a larger retailer, garden centre, and you don't get the right response when you take it back, go to
Raise
the ombudsman. Go to the ombudsman. No, simple. You've got statutory rights.
Yeah.
British standards totally and utterly cover you. Okay, it's called British Standard 9363. There you go. Look it up for yourself, and then all your rights are there, folks, and that's all you need to quote to them. And I had somebody do this quite recently. One of the learners had 5 trees delivered to them, not Christmas trees, but they had 5 trees delivered to them that they wanted to plant in the garden, and they were absolutely terrible. She showed me the pictures, and she went back to the company, and she got some flannel off them to begin with. Then she spoke to me again, and I gave her the regulations to quote at them. And guess what? Within 5 days, she had 5 brand spanking new trees delivered. There you go.
This time of year, trees, especially poinsettias, keep that receipt. Darren, that's us practically done.
Wow. That was quick, wasn't it?
It was quick today.
We were getting ever so efficient at this, Molly Green.
Talking of which, now, the week after Christmas, you and I, we've both got visitors, so we're going to have to make it a valid but brief podcast.
Yeah, well, just to touch base, I think.
Just to touch base. So we're going to record it on, 27th to be released on the Friday after Christmas.
Yeah.
But it'll be shorter than normal. No one will mind, I'm sure. But we, touch base, just to let you know that we're thinking about you over Christmas.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Christmas? Have you got family over?
We've got all the family round and just going to have a big family meal. Of course, we've got my new little granddaughter.
Lenora, how's she doing?
She's fab. She's doing fab. She's really, really good. You never know she had a heart problem. Not at all. And she's smiling and gurgling and giggling now and all this sort of stuff, kicking her feet and full of the joys of life. That's what she is.
There will be people listening to the podcast who maybe didn't listen to us on the BBC over the last year or so who won't know about Lenora and her heart problem.
Oh, yeah. She was born with a heart defect and had to have major heart surgery within 2 weeks of popping into this world.
They knew, didn't they, but prior to her birth that she had a problem.
Everything was prepared.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Birmingham Children's Hospital, just can't thank you enough. And, you know, I owe you a real debt of gratitude because how someone has done this on such a small child, because she was tiny when she was born.
She couldn't have been any smaller.
No, I really, really can't fathom it. But, you know, it's our Christmas miracle. That's what it is, Molly Green. It really is our Christmas miracle that we've got this bubbly bundle of joy.
Well, she's not so small anymore. Her feet have grown.
No, she's not. She can't, this is the problem when she was born. She's a tiny baby, but massive feet. So,
She'll
I think
be a
it's
supermodel.
A Rudge trait.
Yeah. Have you got big feet, Darren?
I've got big feet.
Have you? I didn't know that about you.
Size 11s.
Wow.
So there you go. Big feet. You know what they say.
What do they say? I'm not sure.
Big feet, small nose.
But it's fantastic that you've got all the family over for Christmas, as have I. So, as I say, a shorter podcast Christmas week, but we will still.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Will be here. Now, this podcast is nearly over. Number 14, the amount of phalanges you've got on your foot. Shall we finish with some jobs for the week ahead?
Yes.
Oh, I say, you can tell it's getting close to Christmas. Darren's got his festive music out for the Happy Garden podcast jobs of the week. Go on, Darren. Tell us what to do.
Go on, Darren.
Well, your greenhouse and your houseplants, folks, reduce watering. They don't need to be watered now. They're actually having a little bit of a rest. I've done all this stuff for you through the summer months and the spring. So stop reducing that water. You can actually risk getting grey mould disease, which you don't want because it'll just go right the way through your glasshouse. So ventilate on a dry, sunny day. That's the other thing you can do. And keep those tender plants off the ground on a bench and give them some good light. Wash down the glass and the polythene as well to increase light transmission at this time of year. Remember, light is low in the sky now, so as much light as you can get in there will improve your plant's health as well. Overgrown plants can be cut back and divided right now, and fruit tree pruning and planted can be carried out. Apart from plums and cherries, remember, we don't prune those at this time of year. And that's it for this week, really, Molly.
Darren, that's it. Us done. Podcast number 14.
Wow, podcast number 14. Yep. And it was only two podcasts ago that we did podcast 12 3 months in.
Well worked out, Darren.
How quick that's gone.
It's only 4 ago we realised we were in double figures.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm.
God, it's gone ever so quick.
I'm not sure what we're doing next week. Normally at this juncture of the Happy Garden podcast, we do a look ahead to podcast 15. Couldn't tell you. It'll be a surprise.
It's a Christmas surprise.
It'll be a Christmas.
We'll open that calendar door, won't we, next week?
Have you got one? I had, hang on, let me think. I had a wreath, And a Christmas wreath for door number five.
Yeah. We've got a cheese one.
Have you? A cheese advent calendar?
Yeah, cheese advent calendar.
Have you?
So, yeah, so you open every day. And today it was Danish blue. Smells like smelly socks. It's lovely. It's gorgeous.
That sounds delightful. Do you open it in the morning or in the afternoon when you've had your tea?
In the morning.
In
the morning, but there's just enough for a couple of crackers.
Oh, cracker. That sounds delightful. Now I'm vegan. The one thing I miss is cheese. Vegan cheese, it's disgusting.
Just doesn't cut
it's
the
disgusting.
Mustard.
Oh, that sounds divine. Enjoy tonight. I shall go and enjoy my Gillian's Gone Balmy. Go and make sure my husband's functioning.
I'm just going to go and check the menu to see what's being done today.
How many options do you have?
Oh, there is two starter, two main course.
Unbelievable.
And then there's always a couple of puddings.
Really rude. Well, you go and check your menu. At least she's got a Jaguar for her trouble this year.
Jaguar.
So what are you doing this week, our Dazzler? Once you and I are done, that's it for another 7 days. You got anything exciting planned?
Well, I'm still teaching, so I've got another 2 weeks of teaching still left to do. So after we're done here, I'm going to have my lunch, whatever that might be. And then...
when do you break up, though, from teaching? Is it, mid-December?
Yeah, I think it's week beginning the 19th, is it?
And that's you
like
done
that.
For the
That's
year.
It, done.
Yeah.
Done, finished.
Nice.
Job done.
Yeah.
But we're actually getting some really, really technical stuff with our Level 3 students, talking about biosecurity and things like that.
What's that mean?
Well, it's how you keep your garden. These people are quite professional that I actually teach. So I've got a head gardener from the Royal Parks as one of my students.
Yeah.
And other head gardeners are in there from local houses and trusts and things like that. So it's looking after the areas that they've actually got and making sure that pests and diseases can't come in. Or if they've already got pests and secure diseases, they can't get out. So it's basically all those policies and things like that and how to protect themselves. So it's quite fascinating, actually. We must do a slot on it at some particular point in time because there's loads of legislation.
Wait a second. We haven't had the diary out in a couple of weeks. Here it is.
No.
Yeah, then we'll do some biosecurity in the next few weeks. I'll write it down.
Because it really does matter to the ordinary gardener. It really does matter.
Okay, I'll jot that down. We have so much to do in 2024, Darren. So much to do. For now, though, I guess that's it. Adieu, goodbye. Thank you very much for your advice. I've enjoyed today's podcast.
As always, a pleasure. A total and utter pleasure.
Mon plaisir.
You know?
Shall I leave you to do the strangulated, slightly strange goodbye?
Okay. Happy gardening, folks. Bye!
You've been listening to Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to get in touch with them, email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com or follow them on social media. Just search for The Happy Garden Podcast. Tune in next week for another edition. And as Molly Green would always say,
happy gardening!
Oh,
my God. Yeah, sorry. Happy gardening.